Welcome to The Advertising Show, America's only radio program focusing on advertising, media, marketing, product development, branding, new media, sales and customer relations. Stay with us for entertaining marketing discussion and our special guest interview. Now, here are your hosts, Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe.
On The Advertising Show with Ray Schillens and Brad Forsythe, being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com and by Captivate Network. Visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show, a Big Radio Midgets production. As always, we promise you the best, and we do deliver week in and week out. We have a very special guest out of New York. Norm Brodsky is with us today, brand new book, and we're going to be talking about that book here in just a few minutes. Shamin Abbas, our activist for excellence, is talking about soccer moms. Gene Bliss, here in just a few moments, the customer experience, why customer efforts sometimes fail. We don't ever want that, do we? We want success.
Sorry.
A lot of good stuff here, too. Yeah, as I said, the book is called, actually, Norm is co-author of a book called The Knack.
Mm-hmm.
The Knack. Not the group.
I was going to say, that was a group, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah.
He's got, what, a Swiss Army knife there on the cover?
Yeah, well, just his picture does, and then he's, you know, he's the taller of the two. You got Bo, his, either that or he's standing on some kind of crate because he looks like he's taller. And we were told before we went on the air today that Bo really just helped him with some punctuation issues, and really Norm wrote the book.
So Bo proofed it a little bit,
I think, and that's
made
how I got
some recommendations.
His name. That's how I got his name on there.
Okay.
Columnist for Inc. Magazine, as it says here on the book as well.
Yeah.
And from our fine friends at, who's the publisher? Portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So
that'll be fun to get a chance to check those guys out, at least in this particular case, Norm, and find out what the book is all about, too.
It's a good book.
So it's very good.
Yeah.
This is interesting. Nationwide, the insurance company,
sure,
has been, well, for the longest time, basically life comes at you fast, a good ad
campaign.
Are you
telling me that, or that's their ad campaign?
That's their ad campaign,
yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But what they're doing is they're going back to the jingle, which we probably have somewhere in our classic spots, Nationwide is on your side.
Mm-hmm, I remember it.
So that's what they're doing. And they're suggesting this is true with not only Nationwide, but a lot of marketers going back there.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically Home Depot, Visa, Nationwide, rival Allstate, switching to a more comforting messaging.
Right.
Well, the you know, depression, if you want to call it that, continues.
Go back.
Recession.
Yeah, go back to remembering better times, I suppose.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting. I saw on television the other day, I imagine this is a regional advertiser, Discount Tire. We're big proponents of consistent advertising, but at the same time, I think there's something to be said for updating your commercial, and they've been airing a commercial where the elderly
old lady throws the tire through
the window, and it says, if you don't like it, bring it back. Now, I love the fact that they're consistent, but I think they really could update that spot, keep the message the same, the action the same, the whole thing, because when you look at it,
mm-hmm,
you can tell it's an old spot.
Yeah.
And then they follow that with, you know, some price and product offer that, is updated, but,
right.
I thought, you know, I guess I've missed that spot over the years, and here they are still airing it. I know you've mentioned it several years ago here on the program.
Well, sure. Yeah, it's a good spot.
It's a good spot. It's a attention getter. But, I mean, when you're, you know, when your grandchildren, when you are, you know, well, your age, Ray, for example, and then you and then you remember the spot back when you actually needed some tires when you were 16. You think, well, why can't they update that?
I don't think Discount was around back then.
No,
I was
maybe
16.
Not. Maybe not.
Well, the interesting spot that they have updated with a different theme, same actors, is the free credit report, which I hate those spots. A lot of people like them. You know which one I'm talking
Mm-mm,
about.
No.
The kid's singing. He's at the Renaissance Fair. He worked in a restaurant because his credit's bad. FreeCreditReport.com is the,
mm-hmm,
is the, but it's very episodic, and they're constantly changing it.
Yeah.
And they're also doing a lot of stuff, on the internet and such as well. So it's kind of cool. But I think, yeah, you're probably right. They could bring another lady in there.
Keep the message the same,
mm-hmm,
but just update it.
Okay. Makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Can we take a break here, for just a minute, before we, move on? Let me find where I'm at here. I've lost my place. Oh no. Gene Bliss, the customer experience and why customer efforts fail. Let's listen to that right now.
Welcome to the customer experience, making customers your true priority for a profitable outcome, with your host, author, speaker, consultant, and customer crusader, Gene Bliss.
If you have tried repeatedly to get a focus on customers and customer profitability inside your organization with less than stellar results, you're far from alone. Most companies jump in without evaluating how the organization works together and whether they're truly committed for the long haul ahead. When the CEO says, "Go focus on the customer," everyone takes it differently. People want to salute the flag, they just don't know exactly what that means. A proliferation of tactics, vendor proposals, and actions gets going, but they often don't aggregate up to something meaningful for customers. CEOs with customer passion have a gut about how they want to show up for customers. It's woven into how they give directives and inspire people. When proposals are made, they have an inner compass which forces proposals to examine customer impact and whether factions of the organization are working together or alone on a solution. They challenge how new ideas contribute to the realization of an end state for customers, which they have thought deeply about. And their clarity is palpable and understandable, and they have found a way to communicate so the organization gets it.
This has been your weekly installment of the Customer Experience with Gene Bliss. Directing transformational customer insights for major U.S. market leaders, Gene is corporate America's change agent for a new inspirational understanding of today's consumer. To learn more about Gene's books and speaking engagements, or simply how to drive customer profitability for your company, log on to CustomerBliss.com.
Thank you, Gene Bliss, on the advertising show. Ray Schillen's Brad Forsyth, about to bring Norm Brodsky on. I'll tell you more about him in just a minute.
Yeah, if I were to say Homer, Marge, Bart, Lisa, and Maggie, of course, that would be what? The Simpsons?
That would be The Simpsons,
right.
Yes.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you've heard, Ray, but The Simpsons are being immortalized on stamps to be that have just been launched by the U.S. Postal Service, the 44-cent first-class mail stamps designed by Simpsons creator and executive producer Matt Groening. A sneak preview apparently was just unveiled April 9th and will help celebrate the longest-running primetime comedy. That was a surprise for their 20th anniversary this year. The Postal Service, Ray, receives 50,000 stamp suggestions per year, but only 20 ideas make the cut, and apparently this was one of them. I thought that was strange that a commercial endeavor like that, and of course smart on The Simpsons' part, celebrating their 20th anniversary, would be included in a stamp. I don't think I recall, you know, Elvis and different stamps of, you know, icons and so forth, but never a commercial endeavor. Recall that.
Looks like they're trying to do something to do anything to help the U.S. Postal Service, because
most of
what they've done so far hasn't worked that well.
Well, and they're thinking about, you know, cutting back on Wednesday delivery or something. They're cutting some
weekend delivery.
Is it weekend deliveries?
Yeah, it's weekend delivery.
And then maybe one day through the week.
Incredible. Yeah. Not that it matters. I'm not a real big U.S. Postal Service fan, and my apologies to those who are.
Yeah.
This is Ray Schillens and Brad Forsyth. Norm Brodsky coming up here in just a moment. Norm had already launched 7 successful businesses, including a 3-time Inc. 500 company by the time he began writing the Street Smarts column in the Inc. magazine with Bo Burlingham in 95. The column has proved to be enormously popular with readers of the magazine. It was twice a finalist for the National Magazine Award in 08. It received a gold ASBE Award from the American Society of Publication Editors. And the list goes on and on here. We'll tell you more about Norm as we continue into the interview here. But we're going to be talking about a book today. It's called The Knack, of which Norm is a co-author along with Bo. And we'll do that here in just a moment. Stay with us.
Here comes another typical commercial. I could get your attention by blowing a foghorn, or maybe an awesome scream. But even that doesn't cut through the clutter enough to really captivate your attention. If you're an advertiser and you really want your message to be heard, then reach for the golden nugget of advertising. It's what's called a captive audience. One company delivers this much sought-after captive audience. And believe it or not, it's just the people you want to reach, business professionals and decision makers. It all happens in 23 of North America's largest and most progressive markets. And the captive audience is right there in the elevators of select premier office towers. Over 8,000 high-quality video screens get people's attention with what research proves they want, news and information. It's all combined with your branded message in a way that only this captive audience sees and absorbs. Cut the waste in your advertising budget by reaching just who you want to reach. Don't just advertise. Captivate your audience. To find out more, click on Captivate.com.
You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillins and Brad Forsythe.
You love Double Mint Gum. Double good, Double Mint Gum.
As promised, our guest today, Norm Brodsky, who is a co-author of a book called The Knack, basically did a few other things along the way, too, as well, which will fill you in as we learn a little bit more about what Norm has been up with. Norm, welcome to The Advertising Show. Great to have you here.
Well, it's nice to be here, but you made one mistake. You said I had 7 successful businesses before I wrote for Inc. They weren't all successful. The first business I took from zero to $120 million in 8 years and took that from $120 million to zero in 8 months.
Well, wow.
That's part of the experience you refer to in your book. And I mean that in a complimentary way and an enticing way for our listeners to pick up the book, because it's that kind of experience, both on the upside and the downside, that you're going to gain from Norm's book, The Knack. And we're going to talk about some of those endeavors, Norm. But before we do that, the subtitle of your book, How Street Smart Entrepreneurs Learn to Handle Whatever Comes Up, is that suggesting that experience trumps formal education? Where do you come down on if a young person is contemplating maybe the choice between an MBA or foregoing an MBA for real-world experience?
Well, I think real-world experience trumps education. Now, with that being said, I do have a doctorate of laws. But they say a smart man or woman learns from his or her own mistakes, and a wise man or woman learns from the mistake of others. Mm. And the reason we wrote this book was so you can become wise. Unfortunately, I've been smart most of my life, and I had to go through all those bumps in life, like the first one I talked about.
And the doctorate of law is code for you're an attorney.
Exactly, but yeah. I really don't like to tell people that.
Well, we call you a recovering attorney.
Very smart. You're smart to do that, Norm. Thanks.
Do you still practice, Norm?
No, I hire outside counsel whenever I need it.
Yeah. That's another smart thing.
I became perfect. I stopped practicing 30 years ago.
Yeah, well.
So there's a flaw right there. An attorney practices? Shouldn't he get it right, huh?
Yeah, get it right.
Yeah, come on.
You know, I guess without a plan, Norm, any route will take you to your destination, or maybe not. Talk about what questions a company's initial business plan should address.
Well, before you even start the business plan, you have to have the concept of what business you want to go into. And where most people make the mistake is they buy one of these canned programs to do a plan and just plug the numbers in. And if they see they're going to need $1 million to start, they change the numbers, and so they only could, maybe they need $250,000 to start. That's the wrong way of doing it. What they have to do is they have to do a business plan for themselves first, not for anybody else. To make sure, number one, they understand what it's about, and number two, they have the ability to raise that capital so they can have a chance of success.
And undercapitalization is such a key component in success, and I can't stress that enough myself, because there are so many people out there, Norm, I would imagine, myself and Ray both being entrepreneurs, that their enthusiasm for wanting to bring a concept to market overshoots their ability to sustain a business during tough startup times, right?
That's exactly right. Most entrepreneurs in the beginning are over-optimistic, and they think they can do anything. Your chances of success are greater if you raise the proper amount of capital. What I usually do is I do these business plans for myself, and let's say I end up needing $1 million. I always say put 25% more in reserve. So before I'd start that business, I'd make sure I'd have $1.25 million. And most businesses, believe it or not, don't fail because of the lack of capital. They fail because of the improper use of the capital they have. Mm-hmm. They go out and get fancy offices, buy new furniture. I didn't buy a piece of new furniture for the first 25 years in business. Hmm. I bought them at closeouts or bankruptcy auctions, yeah, et cetera.
And projections can be another issue in terms of what you expect to happen once you go out and start making sales. That back to that enthusiasm clouding your objectivity.
Exactly. And I say in the book how this couple came to me, and I asked them to do projections, and they showed at the end of the third month they'd be doing $20,000 a month in sales. And I asked them, how do they get sales? They say, well, we telephone solicit. And I said, how many people are in the company? And they said, just my wife and I. And I said, how many people buy from you? They say, 1 out of 10. And I said, what's the average sale? And they said, $20. And we sat down and figured out they'd have to be on the phone 72 hours a day, 7 days a week for the 2 months in order to accomplish the $20,000. So they were over-optimistic.
Yeah, and, you know, my partner and I, 26 years ago, sat down and figured out how much our money collectively would get us based on our overhead. We didn't realize at the time we were figuring our burn rate, which we now know is the term, and that was based on no sales, no clients coming through the door. And I think that kind of attitude was what really got us out of the box and onto the beginning of starting a company, a successful company for both startups, Norm, as well as established companies. Everyone's bottom line has been affected by the economic turndown. Do you think companies' sales mentality, the idea that you should focus all your attention on making sales rather than profits, is any more of an issue today than, say, in better times 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I think it is. And one of the things that you understand, but everybody else have to understand, that numbers run a business. And, you know, remember I told you about that business that failed, it went from zero to 120 million to zero. I asked one question every day I walked in, and that question was, how much did we do in sales yesterday? Mm-hmm. And so that's what most people think about. They have that sales mentality, and I had it. Today I understand it's not what you make in the sales, but what your gross margins are. And I don't think a lot of small businesses, especially people starting out or people who've been in business for a short period of time, understand that you have to know what your gross margins are. Let's say you want to hire a salesman. How many, or a saleswoman, how much new sales do they have to bring in to cover their expenses?
Right.
How much cash do you need to carry that salesperson until he or she produces sales? So they do it by the seat of their pants. We're doing great. Let's hire another salesperson. So it's really important to understand what gross margins are and what cash is. Cash is a very unusual commodity. It's the hardest commodity to get and the easiest to spend. And you only have one shot at it.
Especially these days, too. Norm Brodsky is our special guest here on The Advertising Show. The book is called The Knack, who is co-author of the book. And we'll be back in just a moment with more of Norm and Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe.
Why do more media professionals read iwantmedia.com? iwantmedia.com features reports from industry leaders and media personalities. iwantmedia.com gives you quick access to news, stats, trade orgs, and industry publications, and it's updated daily. Forbes says iwantmedia.com contains everything media professionals need to stay ahead of the game. The Washington Post calls it the source for the serious media geek. Do you get it? If you don't, you should. To sign up for free daily email alerts, visit iwantmedia.com.
Make informed decisions about your company's advertising strategy. This is The Advertising Show.
I drink Dr. Pepper and I'm proud. I used to be alone in a crowd. But now you look around these days. There seems to be a Dr. Pepper craze.
Welcome back on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. And Norm, it says here, is a frequent guest on MSNBC. Now we can put in his bio that he is also a guest here at The Advertising Show, which to me carries a lot more weight.
Well, but it can't be frequent, though, because we haven't invited him back yet.
Well, just the guest part.
Oh, that's
okay,
true.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Norm has a brand new book, too, called The Knack, and that's what we're talking about today, a little bit about that. Norm, good to have you on The Advertising Show.
Nice to be here.
You know, Norm, as Ray read in your bio, 8 successful startups throughout your career. How far along during that tenure of those 8 companies was it that you really began to wake up to some understandings from an experience standpoint and things that you really can look back on this many years later and say, wow, this was really a learning experience when this happened?
Well, the main one was that company that I took from zero to 120 million to zero. I mean, I realized a number of things. One, that numbers run the business, and two, probably the most important thing I recognized in life, that life wasn't only about business. It was also about family and doing things for myself. And it took me a while to realize that. I'm a hard worker. I work 24/7. I'm thinking all the time about business. And I missed my first daughter growing up. So when I started all over again after that experience, I said, this time I'm going to take some time to sit back and enjoy the roses, smell the roses a little bit. And I was the only dad on the second daughter's class trips, and I participated in a lot of things that she did. So.
And if you're an entrepreneur, I guess you eventually figure out that, you know, you may have to work 7 days a week, but you do have some liberties to strike a balance between business and family life. Yeah. And the business never leaves you, and certainly the family hopefully doesn't either. You know, we've had branding experts on, Norm, over the years and from all walks of life, some that are consultants, others brand managers of consumer product goods, and just many, many different branding so-called executives. And I'd like to get your take. You know, a lot of the questions I ask of branding people start with some fundamentals of, like, you know, just defining branding for me or brand. But for you, a different question, slightly different. How is brand, in your mind, different from reputation?
Well, I believe that reputation is something that is created by your competitors, whereby brand is created by yourself. Your competitors really define who you are. They define your reputation. So I think that's an important part of the selling process, because when you're out there and your competitors are saying, hey, has Norm been here yet? Oh, you know, So they're afraid of you, sort of, and they give you a good reputation if, in fact, you deserve that. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the really difference, who defines what the reputation is and who defined what the brand is, along with, of course, your customers. Your customers, if you have a good reputation, will give you leads. They'll help you make the sales. So I think that's the biggest difference, is those two things.
That's rather poignant, too, because Gittimer, you know, would say the same thing, I think. He might not even take it that far, Brad. Mm-hmm. You know, the fact that your customers define who your reputation is, mm-hmm. or your brand or something. But I like that. That's great.
Yeah, and I think the key is, you know, if you take care of your customers, they'll take care of your brand and your reputation. What is your way of thinking, Norm, as far as some of the keys to building a strong brand?
Well, the first thing is consistency with the brand. And the second thing is, how do you handle mistakes? I think, you know, that separates a lot of people. How do you handle mistakes? Are you known for handling them properly? So I've seen lots of people, the way they handle mistakes, they go overboard, they give too much, they don't give anything, or they just handle it right. So I think that's an important part of doing it, an important part in your brand and your reputation.
Makes a lot of sense. As a matter of fact, there's an opportunity to shine there, too, isn't there, with a mistake?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's a rare opportunity that you're giving. When you make a mistake, you're right in the spotlight of the customer, where normally, even if you do your job or your service or your product day in and day out, the customer may not see you, or the person who's in charge of that company may not see you. But when there's a big mistake, you get an opportunity to see the person who's in charge. And that's the moment that you have to solidify that relationship.
Conversation today with Norm Brodsky out of New York. And the book is called The Knack, with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe here on The Advertising Show. Stay with us.
How can 18 different companies all sell the exact same thing known as water? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most thought-provoking, groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. Your job demands you not only have good ideas, but great ideas. And those great ideas have to start somewhere. And that somewhere is in the pages of Advertising Age, and also online at adage.com. How can you get someone's attention if you don't have $10 million in a celebrity endorsement? It starts here in Advertising Age, the leading source for marketing, advertising, media, and ideas. For almost 75 years, we've covered the most innovative and groundbreaking stories in the industry, giving you the competitive edge to be a leader. The next big idea demands out-of-the-box thinking. Start your search for greatness in the pages of Advertising Age and also online at adage.com.
Simplifying the complex world of advertising. To reach Ray and Brad with your questions, log on to theadvertisingshow.com. This is The Advertising Show.
Here are some most happy fellas, the four lads before.
When he's not skiing at Telluride, he is writing great books like The Knack. It's Norm Brodsky, our special guest here on The Advertising Show with Ray Shillins and Brad Forsyth. Norm, good to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, I'd encourage all of our listeners to check that out, Amazon.com. I sure will have a copy for you. Curious, Norm, you've got huge entrepreneurial experience. Have you hired any agencies or marketing firms throughout your career?
Never.
No, you always handled it yourself.
I did.
And you recommend that, being an attorney that also a former attorney that hires out legal services from others?
You're putting me on quite a spot here. I think it depends what business you're in, and what your goals are and how much money you have.
Sure.
I think in the beginning it's really, really hard because you're on limited cash.
Sure.
But when you get started, I think you can get as much professional help as you can get.
For instance, Norm still hires out plumbers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's good.
So wanted to get your take. You know, lots has been written about advertising during a down economy. Many argue that, with less competition out there, with less competition out there, advertising, pulling the horns in, as they say here in Texas, It really leaves an opportunity open for some to gain market share, and I'm curious your take on advertising.
I think during times like this, there's so many advantages of you to go out and advertise more and spend more money in marketing. This is the time to do it because your competition won't be doing it, number one, and people are looking for change. And if you're in a position where you're able to do that, I would pour more money into marketing and advertising than ever before. And I strongly believe that. I mean, there's just opportunities created here.
And
I have a thing where you don't go along with the herd. For an example, when everybody about 8 months ago was putting in my industry, they were putting, because gas had gone to $4 a gallon, they were putting gas surcharges. I sent letters out to all my people saying, no gas surcharges. And then I took those letters and went to everybody else's customers and showed them. We got more customers because of that letter.
Wow.
And overcame whatever the additional gas charges were.
Hmm.
So if you think outside the box and you think differently and you don't follow the herd, this is the time to strike and do more advertising and more marketing.
And when the market comes back, you'll know how to spend in an accountable way, because you will have had to have spent in an accountable way during less upbeat times. How important is it for companies to have the right name for their business, Norm?
Well, you know, I wrote an article about it that I feel that names don't mean anything. So you're asking the wrong guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that names don't make the company. It's the company's reputation. And it's the company's image that really what makes what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Tagging onto that too, Brad, not only a name, but a slogan. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, come on, stop it.
Well, I think the brand can make the name as opposed to the name ever making the brand. I know Ray wears Spanx over there, and a lot of people don't know what Spanx are, but it sure makes his rear end looks nice.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Is that a compliment?
But you're right. Your reputation makes the name,
One final question for our audience, Norm. Any one piece of advice that you could look back on your career to give to some young entrepreneur looking out to start their first business endeavor?
Well, the best advice I can give is never quit. Never say die and never quit and keep going. And if you fail, learn from your failures. Look back and take responsibility for what happened. Sit down, analyze what you did wrong, because the next time you won't do it wrong again.
Love it. Love it. And shut up and listen to people like Norm, right? There you go. Norm, great book. Continued success in your career. Needless to say, we'll probably be reading about you in 10 or 15 years, and it'll be this more of the same kind of stuff. But a great book in the meantime, too. It's called The Knack. Go check it out. And thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Ray and Brad. Nice being on the show.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillings, Brad Forsyth, back in just a moment.
There is somewhere better to get inspired, creative ideas. This is where it's at. OpenAd.net, the first online platform for advertisers, changing the way that ideas are created and traded. Access nearly 11,000 creative minds representing 125 countries around the world, waiting online to have a go at your brief. Imagine the impact such range and diversity of talent can have on your next advertising campaign. All creative work is IP cleared before you get it. We take care of all the details, while you get brilliant ideas in a fraction of the time, at a lower cost, and with a lot less fuss. No endless meetings, no away days. When a client needed a new corporate identity ASAP and on a tight budget, they got the impossible. 170 creative solutions to the client in just 24 hours, from brief to deadline. OpenAd.net, busting down the walls of the ad industry. Put it to the test. Just go to OpenAd.net and give us a try. Hey, what have you got to lose? The future starts here.
Make your advertising dollars work smarter. You're listening to The Advertising Show with Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth.
Hey, how about a nice Hawaiian punch?
Sure.
You taste 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. 7 kinds of fruit in Hawaiian punch. Hawaiian punch is made with 7.
Thanks again to our guest, Norm Brodsky, out of New York, co-author of The Knack. By the way, we didn't mention the website, so we'll do that right now. It's called theknack.info. Theknack.info. So that's a cool thing. Norm, great guy.
Yeah.
And we've got, let me look here. Coming up next week, I'll have to figure that out.
Well, we'll get
after
back
the break.
With you, yeah,
I seem to have lost my paper. What do you have there?
Well, I was going to mention that this is kind of a surprise for those that are not staying on top of things that's happening across the pond, as we say. The internet will overtake broadcast television as Europe's most consumed form of media in June of 2010 if current growth trends continue. According to research by Microsoft, internet consumption in 2010 will average 14.2 hours mm-hmm. per week, compared with 11.5 hours a week in television. So, or for television. So, if you're European, you're a little more oriented to the internet beginning in mid-year 2010 than you will be via television. And hopefully, in a few years, they'll get the television and the internet merge together, and we can combine, what would that be, 11 and 14 hours, and we'd be watching it all involved with the internet or television,
yeah.
All points of time from when you wake up to when you go to bed.
And that would be called Facebook.
It would be called way too much media.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, Tom Ataya is our special guest next week.
Author.
Of The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising.
Yeah. I wonder who wrote the book, The Unsuccessful Creative Advertising.
I think you wrote that one.
I did. That's right. All I had to do is make note of all the things that never worked and put them in a book.
And make it be 33, and then you got it.
That's right.
I like that. So, throw that little plug in there, didn't we?
Yeah.
On The Advertising Show, Ray Schillings and Brad Forsyth. We have Shamin Abbas talking about soccer moms. They're out there. They're everywhere. Let's listen.
And now, it's time for Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional. Now, here's your host, the uncompromising Shamin Abbas.
Today we're talking about mommy marketing, or mummy marketing as I call it. It's time for the soccer mum to move over. Today's mum won't be picking up the domestic superwoman mantle, much to the dismay of brand marketers. The new generation of mum has moved on from the mythically overachieving 90s model. Today's mum is politically and economically influential, and much harder to stereotype. Is she an alpha mum, a yoga mum, a green mum? According to Brand Week, all of these mums give themselves more leeway. They're not martyrs, and they aren't striving for perfection. These women are used to customizing their life with TiVo and iPods, and they're very web savvy. They meet up online, they listen to word-of-mouth recommendations, and they're blogging to the tune of about 10,000 new blogs per day, and they engage in digital age tribalism. These mums could be your BFF if you approach them with the proper respect within their comfort zone. They prefer to be engaged and invited to participate. They are hyper self-aware of their power and connectivity and how they can make or break your product's reputation. They want their relationship with your brand to be a two-way street. They don't want to be told what to do or what to like by marketers, but if a friend or a fellow blogger recommends a product, they'll try it and spread the word if they like it. But be aware they'll also spread the word possibly even further if they don't like it. Marketers and their PR partners are creating online communities around brands, creating webisodes that are driven by their own site membership, web hubs where mums can interact and offer advice to one another, as well as read advice from professionals. Now, knowing that they'll post their thoughts to their blog on their way home or Twitter while still there. You can literally create a tribe of consultants by engaging today's mum. You must also be vigilant about the brand experiences you provide this group. If you haven't thought it out and studied your target, you may inadvertently upset them, and the digital outcry can be staggering. Engaging millennial mums can be a powerful way to get your product or service out to your audience. Rather than trying to fit them into a mold, ask them what they want. Believe me, they'll not hesitate to tell you.
You've been listening to Activist for Excellence. PR, publicity, and crisis management instruction for today's marketing professional with host Shamin Abbas. Shamin is president and founder of Shamin Abbas Public Relations, a full-service agency providing local, regional, national, and international media relations, special event production, and inventive promotion with offices in New York City and West Palm Beach. To learn more, visit ShaminAbbasPR.com. That's ShaminAbbasPR.com.
Thanks, Shamin Abbas, here at the Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brent Forsyth. Tom Attea with us next week, author of The Secrets of Successful Creative Advertising. The Masters, a few weeks back, Tiger Woods back in the game mm-hmm. as well. Also in the advertising game, basically Gatorade, Tiger Focus has launched an animated journey into the Woods of Wisdom, a 60-second commercial from Gatorade. It's TBWHI at Day, touts the reformulated product, which claims to provide advanced hydration to help promote mental focus with a Disney-style tale voiced by Samuel L. Jackson as a wise bear guide to a school-aged Tiger Woods.
Hmm.
I guess with that said, we probably already have seen the commercial, or maybe you have. I haven't seen it yet, though.
You know, Samuel Jackson certainly has a recognizable voice, but does Tiger, you think, that much?
Tiger has an Obama kind of a voice.
Well, I mean, but I don't find it that distinctive.
No, it's not.
So I'm wondering how that's going to go in an animated spot.
I don't know.
Unless the person being animated looks like Tiger, I suppose, if that's what they're doing.
That probably would be. A little cartoon type thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. So, Gatorade. And it's good to see, by the way, Tiger back in the game. He took off for quite a long time. Mm-hmm. He had that knee surgery. Although it was interesting, while I was watching the Masters, in the end, it looked like he was limping a little bit. You know, maybe a little bit tender on the knee or something.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I'll be curious to see if it doesn't kind of bother him a little bit here. Anytime you get scoped, you know, you run the risk of getting injured again.
Well,
so.
Maybe it evens up the competition a little bit since he's working injured now, as they say.
Yeah, well, that's how he won his last tournament, in pain.
Is that right?
Grimacing pain.
Yeah.
So. You know, it's It's good to see him back, though. In the meantime, he became another. They had another child as well, too. So they got two kids now.
Well, by the looks of his wife, if you and I were married to her, we'd have a whole slew of kids, wouldn't we?
Yeah. Exactly.
You know, MySpace has partnered with IAC City Search to launch MySpace Local, which I think is an outstanding idea, which will feature listings from a wide array of local businesses, along with a collection of city hubs, as in guides which allow users to search for businesses in specified U.S. cities. It's going to be launching this month, April.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good.
So it should be interesting.
Look forward to that, too, as well.
By the way, most of the people listed in there are going to be restaurants, bars, and nightclubs. To start with.
Probably.
So, entertainment type stuff.
Maybe a few plumbers along the way.
Too. Maybe later.
Advertising show being brought to you by Advertising Age Magazine. Visit online at adage.com. And by Captivate Network. You can visit them at captivate.com. The Advertising Show with Ray Shillings and Brad Forsythe. Next week, it's Tom Atea. Is a Big Radio Midgets production.